For hours, nothing happened. The Lord of the Roch mouthed prayers along with the priests of Ikt. In the lower city, I passed the word that it might be a good idea to stay in tonight. And as a result, there were no conversations in the streets, no knots of neighbors congregating on someone's ground floor to watch an entertainment. By dark, nearly everyone had retired to an upper floor and was talking quietly, or looking out over the railing, saying nothing. 4 hours before dawn, things went to pieces. Or more accurately, I went to pieces. The tracker data I had been monitoring cut out, and suddenly all 20 of me were blind, deaf, immobile. Each segment could see only from a single pair of eyes, hear only through a single pair of ears, move only that single body. It took a few bewildered, panicked moments for my segments to realize that each was cut off from the others, each instance of me alone in a single body. Worst of all, in that same instant, all data from Lieutenant On ceased. From that moment, I was 20 different people with 20 different sets of observations and memories, and I can only remember what happened by piecing those separate experiences together. At the moment the blow fell, all 20 segments immediately, without thought, extended my armor. Those segments that were dressed, not making even the least attempt to modify it to cover any part of my uniforms. In the house, 8 sleeping segments woke instantly. And once I had recovered my composure, they rushed to where Lieutenant On lay trying to sleep. 2 of those segments, 17 and 4, seeing Lieutenant On seemingly well, and several other segments around her, went to the house console to check communication status. The console wasn't working. "Communications are out," my 17 segment called, voice distorted by the smooth silver armor. "Not possible," said 4, and 17 didn't answer because no answer was necessary given the actuality. Some of my segments in the upper city actually turned toward the 4 temple water before realizing I'd best stay where I was. Every single segment in the plaza and the temple turned toward the house. One of me took off running to be sure of Lieutenant On, and 2 said at once, "The upper city," and another 2, "The storm siren." And for 2 confused seconds, the pieces of me tried to decide what to do next. Segment 9 ran into the temple residence and woke the priest sleeping by the storm siren, who tripped it. Just before the siren blew, Jen Shinnen ran out of her house in the upper city shouting, "Murder! Murder!" Lights came on in the houses around her, but further noise was drowned out by the shrieking of the siren. My nearest segment was 4 streets away. All around the lower city, storm shutters rattled down. The priests in the temple ceased their prayers, and the head priest looked at me, but I had no information for her and gestured my helplessness. "My communications are cut off, Divine," said that segment. The head priest blinked, uncomprehendingly. Speech was useless while the siren blew. The Lord of the Roch hadn't reacted at the moment I had fragmented, though she was connected to the rest of herself in much the same way I ordinarily was. Her apparent lack of surprise was strange enough for my segment nearest her to notice it. But it might have been no more than self-possession. The siren elicited no more than an upward glance and a raised eyebrow. Then she stood and walked out onto the plaza. It was the 3rd worst thing that has ever happened to me. I had lost all sense of justice of Torin overhead, all sense of myself. I had shattered into 20 fragments that could barely communicate with each other. Just before the siren had blown, Lieutenant On had sent a segment to the temple with orders to sound the alarm. Now that segment came running into the plaza, where it stood hesitating, looking at the rest of itself, visible, but not there as far as my sense of myself was concerned. The siren stopped. The lower city was silent. The only sound was my footsteps and my armor-filtered voices trying to talk to myself, to get organized so I could function at least in some small way. The Lord of the Roch raised one graying eyebrow.
Where is Lieutenant Onn?
That was, of course, the question uppermost in the minds of all my segments that didn't already know. But now the one of me who had arrived with the order from Lieutenant Onn had something it knew it could do. Lieutenant Onn is on her way, my lord, it said. And 10 seconds later, Lieutenant Onn and most of the rest of me that had been in the house arrived, rushing into the plaza.
I thought you had this area under control.
Anander, me and I didn't look at Lieutenant Onn as she spoke. But the direction of her words was clear.
So did I.
And then Lieutenant Onn remembered where she was and to whom she was speaking.
My lord, begging your pardon.
Each of me had to restrain itself from turning entirely to watch Lieutenant Onn, to be sure she was really there, because I couldn't sense her otherwise. A few whispers sorted out which of my segments would keep close to her, and the rest would have to trust that. My 10 segment came around the Four Temple Water at a dead run. Trouble in the upper city, it called, and came to a halt in front of Lieutenant Onn, where I cleared the path for myself. People are gathering at Jen Shinnan's house. They're angry. They're talking about murder and getting justice.
Murder? Oh, fuck.
All the segments near Lieutenant Onn said in unison, Language, Lieutenant. Anander, me and I turned a disbelieving look on me, but said nothing.
Oh, fuck, Lieutenant Onn repeated.
Are you, asked Anander, me and I, calm and deliberate, going to do anything except swear?
Lieutenant Onn froze for half a second, then looked around, across the water toward the lower city at the temple.
Who's here? Count.
And when we had done so, 1 through 7 out here, the rest with me. I followed her into the temple, leaving Anander, me and I standing in the plaza. The priests stood near the dais, watching us approach.
Divine, said Lieutenant Onn.
Lieutenant, said the head priest.
There's a mob bent on violence headed here from the upper city. I'm guessing we have 5 minutes. They can't do much damage with the storm shutters down. I'd like to bring them in here, keep them from doing anything drastic.
Bring them in here?
The head priest repeated doubtfully.
Everything else is dark and shut. The big doors are open. It's the most obvious place to come. When most of them are in here, we close the doors, and one esk surrounds them. We could just shut the temple doors and let them try their luck with the shutters on the houses, but I don't really want to find out how hard those are to breach. If, she added, seeing Anander, me and I come into the temple walking slowly, as though nothing unusual were happening,
my lord permits.
The Lord of the Roch gestured a silent assent.
The head priest clearly didn't like the suggestion, but she agreed. By now, my segments on the plaza were seeing hand lights sporadically visible in the nearest upper city streets. Within moments, Lieutenant Onn had me behind the large temple doors, ready to close them on her signal, and a few of me dispatched to the streets around the plaza to help herd Tanmind toward the temple. The rest of me stood in the shadows around the perimeter inside the temple itself, and the priests returned to their prayers, their backs to the wide and inviting entrance. More than 100 Tanmind came down from the upper city. Most of them did precisely as we wished and rushed in a swirling, shouting mass into the temple, except for 23, a dozen of whom veered off down a dark, empty avenue. The other 11, who had already been trailing the larger group, saw one segment of me standing quiet nearby and thought better of their actions. They stopped,
muttered among themselves for a moment, watching the mass of Tanmind run into the temple, the others rushing, shouting down the street. They watched me close the temple doors, the segments posted there not uniformed, covered only with the silver of my own generated armor, and maybe it reminded them of the annexation. Several of them swore, and they turned and ran back to the upper city. 83 Tanmind had run into the temple. Their angry voices echoed and re-echoed, magnified. At the sound of the doors slamming closed, they turned and tried to rush back the way they had come. But I had surrounded them, my guns drawn and aimed at whoever was nearest each segment. "Citizens!" shouted Lieutenant On, but she didn't have the trick of making herself heard. "Citizens!" the various fragments of me shouted, my own voices echoing and then dying down. Along with the Tanmin's tumult, Jen Shinnen and Jen Ta, and a few others I knew were friends or relations of theirs, shushed those near them, urged them to calm themselves, to consider that the Lord of the Roch herself was here, and they could speak directly to her. "Citizens!" Lieutenant On shouted again. "Have you lost your minds? What are you doing?"
"Murder!"
shouted Jen Shinnen, who was at the front of the crowd, shouting over my head at Lieutenant On where she stood behind me, beside the Lord of the Roch and the Divine. The junior priests stood huddled together, seemingly frozen. The Tanmin voices grumbled, echoing in support of Jen Shinnen.
"We won't get justice from you, so we'll take it ourselves," Jen Shinnen cried.
The grumbling from the crowd rolled around the stone walls of the temple.
"Explain yourself, citizen," said Anandermi and I, voice pitched to sound above the noise.
The Tanmin hushed each other for 5 seconds and then,
"My lord," said Jen Shinnen. Her respectful tone sounded almost sincere. "My young niece has been staying in my house for the past week. She was harassed and threatened by Orzians when she came to the lower city, which I reported to Lieutenant On, but nothing was done. This evening, I found her room empty, the window broken, blood everywhere. What am I to conclude? The Orzians have always resented us. Now they mean to kill us all. Is it any wonder we should defend ourselves?"
Anandermi and I turned to Lieutenant On.
"Was this reported?"
"It was, my lord," said Lieutenant On. "I investigated and found that the young person in question had never left sight of Justice of Torin I-esk, who reported that she had spent all her time in the lower city alone. The only words that passed between her and anyone else were routine business transactions. She wasn't harassed or threatened at any time."
"You see," cried Jen Shinnen. "You see why we are compelled to take justice into our own hands."
"And what leads you to believe all your lives are threatened?" asked Anandermi and I.
"My lord," said Jen Shinnen, "Lieutenant On would have you believe everyone in the lower city is loyal and law-abiding. But we know from experience that the Orzians are anything but paragons of virtue. The fishermen go out on the water at night unseen. Sources..."
She hesitated just a moment, whether because of the gun pointed directly at her, or Anandermi and I's continued impassivity, or something else. I couldn't tell. But it seemed to me something had amused her. Then she recovered her composure.
"Sources I prefer not to name have seen the boatmen of the lower city depositing weapons in caches in the lake. What would those be for, except to finally take their revenge on us? Who they believe have mistreated them. And how could those guns have come here without Lieutenant On's collusion?"
Anandermi and I turned her dark face toward Lieutenant On and raised one grayed eyebrow.
Do you have an answer for that, Lieutenant On?